Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And we've got Ziggy Rodriguez here.
That's me.
And Tom Dorian is not with us, so Venerable Tom is out, and we look forward to his coming back soon. And so today we're going to talk about some, we're going to continue down the path of the parables.
Yes.
Because Jesus, when he does something, he does it big, and he's unleashed over the last couple of weeks, like all these parables. The kingdom of heaven is like, you know, a bowl of Captain Crunch, you know, or whatever. It's like all these parables that apply, and I love them, and there's always some great teaching or wisdom or truth that comes to us in these parables, and so they shouldn't be downplayed as these people weren't very smart, and so he just said some things, and you know. How am I going to get these people on board? You know, it really was a beautiful way of expressing truth in a way that is not just like we don't have to, keep ox or oxen, you know, to understand what's going on, or to be a farmer to understand these. There's wisdom here that still to this day, like 2,000 years later, applies to us.
You don't need a pair of bulls to understand.
No, you don't need a pair of bulls. So the thing is, at the end of the day, really what you do need, though, is wisdom, right? And that's what God wants us to have and wants us to see. In fact, that's why I think it's kind of neat in this 16th or 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time, where the first reading on this Sunday is from first book of Kings. And that's wisdom being imparted to Solomon, right? So King Solomon, just a youngster at the time, right? I love this reading because it's so, it's anti today's kids.
Right.
Is how I could say it. But I'll just read its brief. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. God asked, "Ask something of me and I will give it to you." Solomon answered, "O Lord my God, you have made me your servant, king, to succeed my father David. But I am a mere youth, not knowing at all how to act. I serve you in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a people so vast that it cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart, to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong. For who is able to govern this vast people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon made this request. So God said to him, "Because you have asked for this, not for a long life for yourself, nor for riches, nor for the life of your enemies, but for understanding so that you may know what is right, I do as you requested. I give you a heart so wise and understanding that there's never been anyone like you up to now. And after you, there will come no one to equal you." I look at that and I go like, how many people, have found Aladdin's lamp?
Yeah, right.
You know, and we're going to be brushing and cleaning the side of the lamp, you know, and a genie pops out. And we can ask for anything.
Right.
You know, I have to believe that to some degree, wisdom was already a gift that Solomon had.
Right.
To some
right.
degree,
well,
right?
Well, if that was the case, he would have asked for more wishes.
Yeah, I guess. maybe that's true. But you start to look at this to realize how different things are. And when I say youth, I'm not going to beat up on people, anyone younger than me today.
Because, you just want them off your lawn.
Yeah, exactly right. Get off my lawn. But I will just say that, like, even me, I would be challenged to come up with, like, the perfect wish. If God said, what is it that you desire? You know, what would you like me to give you as a gift?
Yeah, well, and there's a couple of versions of this in Scripture, and I believe it's this version where the original text, give me an understanding heart, is give me a teachable heart. You know, like, and I think that that's something that is, it's directly connected with humility. You know, to have a teachable heart, you're not allowing your, it's, it, well, if you think about it, it includes humility, it includes goodwill and charity, right? It doesn't allow yourself to get hardened by towards God or towards your fellow man for the negative things that happen along the way. And you remain open to the Spirit of God so that he may move you and mold you and guide you. And so there we see that the life of wisdom is the life of God within us. If we treat that as that teachable, that if we use that phrase of give me an understanding heart, give me a teachable heart, because it's a heart that's welcoming the Lord more fully into the life of your heart.
Yeah, exactly. And no, I agree with that 100%. I just know that, again, it's antithetical to me to think that, like, if we're given this wish, you know, what our heart would want the most, you know, what Solomon, you know, desires and asks of God is something that essentially it's not, you know, well, you know, kill all my enemies, you know, and give me great riches, or let me live for, you know, hundreds of years or whatever. It's those are all things that I think that a lot of us think or put value in, right? And we think, God, if you could just take care, if you just get rid of all the obstacles in my life, all the problems that I have, all the challenges, just get rid of all of that. And I just think that that's the way that most folks, I mean, I would be tempted to do that myself. But at the end of the day, you realize how much happier Solomon would be, right? And how much, I guess he knows this is really what needs to be. I want wisdom. I want to know what is right so that I can pursue that which is right. What a great thing to desire and ask of God. And I don't see that. I think we are all challenged anew, and this is why this reading, as it comes up in our lectionary, we need to pay attention to this.
Well, and wisdom is the thing that prepares you for the challenges and sufferings that come. And I mean, we didn't have the revelation of Christ in the days of Solomon, and to where suffering was transformed into an opportunity for self-gift and growth and virtue. But ultimately that would become a sort of the culminating meaning of our sufferings within the context of our lived faith. But you know, if you've got wisdom and you recognize, you know what, with God, anything is possible. And if, as long as I'm staying close to God and doing all for God, I trust in his goodness. I trust in his love. I trust that he is going to lead me through whatever he might permit. You know, I mean, I think there's an understanding of anything that happens in our life, either God willed it or he's permitted it, but it never, but if it's something that he's permitted but didn't actively will, it doesn't throw off his plan. His plan includes it.
Yeah.
And to the extent that we are willing to cooperate with God as we move forward, I mean, I think ultimately what I'm reminded of, it's interesting because St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, he talks about man being a natural being with a supernatural end. And I think in a way, Solomon, who has been made this powerful king and has been given everything, right? I think he understood, if I had already met my natural end, right? If I'm a natural being with a natural end, I kind of already made it. But he recognized that, no, there's something more. There's something more.
Or something greater.
And it has to come from God, and that wisdom brings us into that life of the Lord by which we're able to live by and through him. So I mean, it's almost like pre-Christian yearnings for grace without even the teachings of grace being revealed to
And certainly this is really prefiguring what Jesus would do in essentially perfecting suffering,
yes,
or making suffering purposeful, you know, in this way, you know, this is a way someone could look at it and go like, man, you could have asked for all these things, and yet you ask for something that you can't even grasp, right? It's not like a physical thing. It's like, yeah, because there's something bigger beyond this.
Right.
Right. And there's just this little taste we get, and we see that come to fruition when essentially Jesus dies for us. He gives his all for us. And that's why this wisdom of Solomon is something that we should continue to pray for each one of us.
Yes. Well, and I think another thing that is that to give points to Solomon here, there's also a sense of duty, right? I mean, Lord, you've given me this role of king. Help me steward it well. I can't fulfill my duties on my own, relying only upon myself. And, you know, there's a book that's a kind of a spiritual classic, Abandonment to Divine Providence. And one of the opening chapter of it, it talks about, you know, if you're wanting to pursue holiness in life, the first thing that you need to take stock of are your duties that you currently have.
Right.
You know, if you're throwing away the duties that you actively have because you want to pursue some pie-in-the-sky ideal of holiness, you're kind of missing the whole point, because our faith is a lived reality, and we live it within the context of the truth in which we've been placed, right? And that includes our duties and our obligations, including some things that may not be fun, right? Some things that might require some heavy work.
How many of the saints, by their example, you know, basically lived the small, important thing, daily duties, the ora et labora. I mean, we're praying and we're working, we're doing our chores, and God is present, and we're communicating with God in all of those daily things. So there's great wisdom there, and this wisdom is really required. As we read from the gospel, as Jesus continues with multiple parables, we start to realize that this is how the Old Testament and the gospel readings are connected again, is just because there's great wisdom in what Jesus is teaching us. I'll do the shorter form from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it." Because when you realize what is the true value in life, you will do anything, right, to follow that path.
Well, you know, it's interesting you're using the term value there, and it obviously links perfectly with these parables. The Catholic teaching on the gift of knowledge that we receive at confirmation, a lot of people don't realize. They'll assume that the gift of knowledge means like, oh, it's just gonna upload a lot of facts to our brains, right? And that's not what the gift of knowledge is. The gift of knowledge is seeing the things of creation in light, and seeing the true value of created things in light of the Creator, right? And once you've got this light that comes to you that says, wait, I know that all of this has a source, all of this has a source in God, it completely transforms how we look at the things of the earth in our life.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, now the only thing that I'm confused about in all of this, because, you know, I don't always get everything, but I'm not so sure I understand why Mini Pearl is so valuable here, and why...
howdy! You
know, yeah. Like where Hee-Haw comes in, is there some gospel message in
Hee-Haw? Well, a pearl of great price, you know, $1.98 was a lot more valuable 2,000 years ago if you adjust for inflation.
Okay, was she here 2,000 years ago? Because that's
she was kind of old, I don't know.
Yeah. And I hear she is actually buried in a field somewhere.
Oh, so it all comes together. It all comes together.
This is all making perfect sense.
You know, but so here's the thing that comes to me, partly because I'm sitting next to you, Deacon Jeff, and you've really you've gone deep. For those of us in Radio Land who aren't aware, that he's gone deep in the world of marriage preparation work, and he's put together basically the book for our diocese. We led everybody in a series of on the topic.
Yep. And what a summer of holy matrimony we have here.
And there's four marks to marriage, right? Free, total, faithful, fruitful. And it's interesting because I kind of want to zero in on the total aspect because, you know, on one hand, you know, we're talking about the pearl of great price. You're giving
finding a treasure buried.
Yes, and you want to give everything for this, right? And I think it's interesting, like, if we think about, you know, it begins obviously with the inner life of the Trinity, where there's a total self-gift between the Father and the Son, and you know, through the love that spirates between them, right? And God and his total gift to us, or Jesus and his total gift to us at Calvary, and then marriage, and then we are called to make a total gift to God as well. So it seems this there's a theme of totality in our love, in our acts of self-gift, that is at the very core of the Christian life. And I think it would be worthwhile to sort of unpack that sort of that emphasis on totality that we have in these two parables.
Yeah, the total self-gift is like, that's really essentially the key to, well, I'll just say a healthy and happy marriage. It's our goal is not just like, well, I want to have a good marriage, and we want to be married for a long time. We want to have kids. We want to be successful. We want to have a nice house. We want to have a happy life, right? Those are all beautiful things. There's nothing wrong with any of those, but that's not the goal. The goal is total self-gift. I mean, that is a true marriage that's modeled after the love of the Trinity, right? And that's how we live in the love of the Trinity, is in total self-gift, right? Total gift of self, where nothing is held back, of a total gift of one to the other. And this is why a lot of people don't realize this, that, you know, most of us who are married and understand the gift of marriage, I'm married, by the way. Hi, Bess. And I have, there's a pearl of great price in my life, and that is my wife. And I would do anything, and I do everything to have that, right? And so I see the value. When I say value, I don't mean like the monetary value.
Right.
I mean the worthiness, the reason for living. I see all of that in her as expressed, which basically is a perfect reflection of God for me. And so I see God in her, and hopefully she sees God in me, and that I'll do everything for our marriage, because I'm doing everything for God. And so I give myself totally to her. And when someone understands that about holy matrimony and understands this is how we live that expression, right? Then we are participating in the wisdom of Solomon.
Yes.
We're realizing the great value that God has for us. You know, Jesus is the one who did this first, right? He's the one, God loved us first. He loved us into existence. And with his total self, and this is essentially, I'll say, proven. God doesn't have to prove anything, but this is basically shown to us, revealed to us in Jesus' death on the cross and his total self-gift, right? This is how salvation comes to the world, through God's total gift of self to us. And this is why our marriage has to model that.
Yes.
And that's the pearl of great price. That's the treasure buried in a field. And right now, I kind of feel like marriage is going through a tough time in our world, especially like in our country, in the United States, where I just don't think people value and understand marriage the way that really it was revealed to us, and the way things might have been, you know, 50, 60, 100 years ago, in terms of like what marriage is, right? Faithfulness, living for the other, living in total self-gift one to the other, for the benefit of the other. And we've kind of lost that, to the point where we're in a time now where people are getting married less often. There's less fruit from those marriages. We're having fewer children. They're getting married later because they're seeing marriage as like a stage in life. And, well, I'm not ready to go into that stage, and when I'm ready for that stage. So it's, so there was this cautionary tale about what marriage is. And we're even redefining what marriage is and saying, well, that's not marriage, or necessarily. It doesn't have to be like that. It can also be like this, where we are losing sight of eternity. We're losing sight of total self-gift. We're losing sight of the pearl, of the great price, right, that we are willing to give, because we're just not willing to give.
Right, exactly. And I think it's important also to highlight, you know, the ultimately this total self-gift that is lived out in marriage, it's only made possible by grace, right? But God, in drawing the the husband and wife into that sacramental union. They are cooperate to the extent that they're living out this total self-gift. They are cooperating with his grace, and it's ordered towards what? It's ordered towards the towards salvation, towards I'm living out my own salvation and pursuing the salvation of the other, and she is pursuing, I'm not married, but within that context, it would be the case, that she is pursuing her salvation and pursuing my own, right? And so in this, we've got, and it's not just, you know, our salvation, the two of us, it's also the children, right? And then in addition to that, as you were pointing out, it also witnesses Christ's love for the church to the world, right? If it's lived out properly, right? And so at the end of the day, I mean, this is just this pas de Dieu, right, of God's love in the human heart. And it kind of brings me back, you brought up Solomon in terms of, you know, linking sort of give me an understanding heart, give me a teachable heart.
Yeah.
You know, if we want to live that total act of self gift, we have to have a teachable heart that allows us to let go of everything that gets in the way of that self gift and gets in the way of seeing what's required to serve the good of the other. So yeah, I see these two things as being inextricably linked.
Yeah, and to do all this, we're going to need to have, like you talked about, a teachable heart. There's got to be humility. There's got to be vulnerability. There's got to be a willingness to give yourself over, a willingness to be transformed. And that's vital to any marriage, and it's vital, really, it's vital to the gospel. Because if you're walking around already saved, or if you're walking around with the perspective that, like, you already have the wisdom, you already know, there's nothing new.
Right.
If you walk around the world like right now, that, like, there's nothing new, and that you're not willing, well, now that's the sin of pride. That's that first, very first sin.
Yeah.
The mother of all sins that essentially lays waste to our lives.
Yes.
Right? And we don't live according to the dictates of God in total self-gift. And we can't appreciate that. And then you start to realize, this is why I think that there's a world of hurt out there. You know, this is why I think that we have the problems in the world that we have. Now, we're always going to have the poor among us, as Jesus says. We're always going to have the problems. There are always going to be a need. But the sooner we understand as individuals that God loves us with total self-gift, with total gift of self, that God loves us and there is nothing held back in that love, and that we're actually called to mirror that love in our lives, as long as we realize that, I mean, this is the way to move the needle to essentially allow God to fix the world.
Well, and I'm reminded also of one of the letters of John that talks about how can we love our brother, how can we love God who we can't see if we don't love our brother that we do see, right? And so I think there's a link between that and marriage, insofar as God is using, marriage is the primary, is the sort of the default vocation, unless somebody has a supernatural vocation to celibacy, right? And so it's inherent to the general plan of salvation for the human race. And,
yes, 100%.
And so as a result, you know, ultimately, God, he has given us a partner for those of us who have been blessed to enter into holy matrimony. He's given a partner. And by this sort of, you could say almost this laboratory of love, right? You know, and by the work of grace within the context of that couple, he is preparing the heart for the total self-gift to God. Ultimately.
I like the old school description of marriage from the church as the school of perfection.
Yes, exactly.
It's what it is. And it's not just marriage. I'm going to go ahead and say that there is essentially a marriage quality to every human life and every vocation.
Yes.
So even a call to the priesthood, essentially marrying the church, right?
Yes.
And having spiritual children. The marriage to Jesus that a sister or nun would experience, right? There's total self-gift in every vocation.
Yes.
And so this is what we're called to, and this is why I think it's so vitally important that we seek the wisdom of God. We seek for ourselves the wisdom of Solomon, that Solomon sought and received from God. And yeah, maybe God said that no one's had the wisdom you have up till now, and no one ever will have this again. But we can come pretty close, right? We can seek that wisdom, and we can ask God for that wisdom, invite Him into our lives, and being vulnerable, inviting Him to transform us and to change us. And when we're called in that way, and when we respond with total self-gift, right, then we receive the pearl of great price, or at least, at the very least, we see it, mm-hmm. right? And we seek it, and we continue on that path, so that ultimately that pearl is realized, that buried treasure is realized in our eternal reward that comes to us because we lived life as a good and faithful servant. And this is what we're called to, right? No one is excused from this call. All of us are called in total self-gift, in the love of the Trinity, whether it's marriage, whether it's religious life, or whether it's a vocation to the priesthood, even as a consecrated virgin or as a single person, we are all called in total self-gift, but then also that willingness to receive and be transformed and changed. This is the wisdom of Solomon.
Right.
This is what was poured into Solomon, and that we too can request it. And God grants it. And so when we live in harmony with the church's teachings, when we live in harmony with Jesus Christ and His message, right, when we live in this way, this is how that pearl comes to us. This is why these parables that Jesus speaks in are so vital to us even today, right? They're not these ancient old, little bumper stickers from 2,000 years ago. It's like, well, we're not really an agrarian society anymore, and we're not really whatever. And it's like, yeah, but we still need this wisdom. Wisdom is eternal because it comes from God. And so let us all each pray to God, seeking wisdom to make those right choices so that we know what is right and that we live in harmony with Him. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes, or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.